Glory to God. Let's go to Philemon. I'll give you a little time to get there because it's stuck in there where you may not know where it is. And we won't watch if you have to look in the front to find it. Kidding. It's back in the back. Philemon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now we're working on, it's on page 295 in the Kenneth Copeland Bible. So we're working on, pages are blowing. Healthy relationships. How many of you are going to Better Together with Pastor Jordan, Pastor Danny? You doing that? Okay. Praise the Lord. How many of you enjoyed it? It's gonna get gooder and gooder, or as they would say, better. Oh, I can't tell you how people have been telling me how much fun they had. So praise the Lord. So, we're looking for healthy relationships. We're looking for physical health. We're getting it, and we're looking for prosperity. That is the goal for 2023 for you and me. That's what we're doing. And so we're building our faith on that. We're building our faith, working on our faith. My brother was what you would call a state trapper. He would, he lived a little bit north up in the Gerald area, and he was, would go out on the ranches and he would trap coyotes, or coyotes as we say. And so he trapped the coyotes because they're trying to take down the herds. They're picking off, there's some goats up there, but mostly cattle. They were picking off the cattle, trying to get the cattle. So my brother was the trapper. He would trap them and then do what he needed to do with them. And so that was kind of something that was interesting for us to watch. I've been around hunting all my life. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me when animals have to go bye-bye. But my grandfather actually went to heaven walking to his deer blind. And that same brother, who's the trapper, Cliff, he was with my grandfather when he went to heaven. He ran as fast as he could to get help, but Papa said bye. And so Papa went to heaven doing what he loved the most. My dad was a avid hunter, fisher, and trapper. He did all of that, and our beautiful yard was totally tilled up in a garden. And so we could live year round. We could have lived without HEB. We didn't, but we could have. So that's kind of my background. We were hunters and fishers, and we grew up with that kind of stuff. And I like it. I think it's a wonderful thing if you can do that. So a lot of the Christmas presents I bought are camouflage, even to this day, because my son is an avid hunter. And he's killed trophy deer and big elks and all that kind of stuff. And he's done really well at his hunting. And so camouflage has been a big thing. And so if you're going to go out hunting, a lot of people will put on camouflage. It's interesting. And then if you're going to get a coyote, there's this little thing that you can get. It's called a call. Y'all know what that is? A call. There's turkey calls. There's all sorts of calls. Little wooden thing that you blow. And it sounds like a wounded rabbit. How many have heard that? Oh, wow. Okay. I'm in good company here. We all from the country. Okay. So, now when the coyote hears that wounded call, listen to me. When he hears the wounded call, he's going in for a nice meal.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going in. That call is not pleasant. And you know, many people, even spirit-filled people, spirit-filled Christians, are continually whining and speaking words of defeat and depression, calling up the coyotes of failure.
Oh, wow.
They're going to come in for the kill.
Yeah. Wow.
So that wounded rabbit attracts the devil, the wounded rabbit, okay? So then he comes to devour them. So I just believe that there are many wounded rabbits in the church who need to change their sound.
Amen.
And if they'll change their sound, they're going to get a different result. They're not going to see old coyote come up in their yard and try to take them out. And listen, I don't believe that the devil in any way can kill anyone at any time. He can't. But he has to get them to agree with his doubt, his fear, and then he can do harm to them if he can get them to agree with it. Now, faith agrees with God and shuts the door to the wounded rabbit noise. That's part of faith, that you'll shut that door. So by changing your sound, by changing it to a bold declaration that we've been talking about, that systematic discourse, speaking boldly, speaking with authority, when you begin to do that, now listen, here's the other part of that. That's what we're going to go to today. When you have a bold declaration of who you are, but not just who you are in Christ Jesus. This is what matters. You'll begin to attract the blessings of God in a greater measure. And so how does someone change their lifelong habit of wounded rabbit language? Wow. How do they change that? Because you can. And I tell you, I've been around people for years who just, and there's been several instances where the Lord actually allowed me to jump in there and help with a mercy anointing that came in here today. Yeah. It came in here today that there's mercy for those that have acted like a wounded rabbit.
Yeah. Come on. Wow.
And by my faith, I'm like one of those four crazy friends, helped them move to a next place. It's kind of like the Lord was saying, I don't know if they're ever going to shut that up. Let's just see if we can have some mercy here. But that's not the best way to go, is it? The best way to go is that you go ahead and live in this right place.
Right.
Amen. I mean, even sometimes I've given people some little pushes and man, they just totally, all the way out the door. But God saw them through. Amen. The best way to live is just go ahead and get it right away. Get it with your faith. So this Philemon verse, we'll start with verse 4:1-4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. Your acknowledgement. So faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. Not just in you, but you in Christ. Acknowledging every good thing.
Yes. Amen.
Instead of, but every good thing. Hey, you know what? The Lord's been good to me. Thank God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep.
Let me tell you a couple of things. He's been good. And then you tell him, or you just go to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. Well, I'm so blessed. Thank you for always seeing me through instead of murmuring and complaining about it. You're acknowledging. And when you do that, I want you and the Lord wants us to start getting the idea that we're going to go a little deeper here. It's in us, in Christ. We're in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think I want to read you something here. Maybe it's marked somewhere. Yeah, don't turn there, but let me read. This is Galatians 3. It says, but after that faith has come, because we're not under the law, we have faith now, faith and grace. Mm-hmm. We are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Baptized into Christ right there is not the water. Baptized into Christ is that you got born again. Okay. All right. Now there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for ye all one in Christ Jesus. Here we would say all y'all. All y'all. Everybody. Every race. Every color. Every level on the financial scale. Male, female, all one, all the same in Christ.
Amen.
That's what it said. That makes Jesus the first women's liberator, didn't it?
Boom. There you go.
So we don't need all the nonsense.
Right.
We can know our place and enjoy our life in the right place.
That's right.
Not trying to be smarter and bigger than men.
No.
You know who you are and you enjoy who you are.
That's right.
Okay. I thank God for men.
Amen.
They're help in a time of need, I'm telling you. I especially like cowboys. Praise the Lord. Okay, back to work. Now, church, many good things are in us. Many good things. Because they're in Christ Jesus. Paul says our faith will be effective if we acknowledge, if we say something about it, that he is in, that we're in him and he's in us. Most of you, I know where you come from. And so in the epistles, you have circled in him, in Christ. And you probably read Brother Hagin's little book, in him. And so you've revelated on that and you circled and you go through your Bible and my Bible, it's circled, most places. In him, in whom, in, so that you make yourself aware, just like you did when you started circling Christ. Did you do that in your Bibles? You circle Christ because you want to make yourself aware that that's not his last name?
Mm-hmm.
That you're saying the Messiah, the anointed one and his anointing. And so when you see the word Christ, you go, that's the Messiah, the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
That's drilling deeper, right?
Yes.
And so that's what we want to do within him. Praise the Lord. When you go to the airport, you have to have proof of identification, do you? Yeah, so, and you could say, here I am. Are you Roxanne? Yeah, here I am. Can you see me? This is me. But that won't do for them.
No.
You can get extra identification. We have, most of us that travel together, we have the known traveler number and all that kind of stuff, you know, where you can get through TSA faster. So they even know us better and know that we're not cuckoo. So they, you don't have to take your shoes off if you're not cuckoo. I learned that. So anyway, but you do have to have some kind of identification. And I don't know how they do this now, parents. You could probably tell me. But when we played sports younger, you had to have a birth certificate. They had to know really how old you were. They really wanted to know, like in city teams and stuff, they wanted to know. So one says yes, one says no. They don't require it anymore. They don't do it anymore. But we used to have that. They had to really know who you are. So, everybody needs an ID. So you could just say, I'm here. I'm standing here. Here I am. But you needed an ID. And so to make a transaction at the bank, sometimes you need an ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have that identification. If you're going to open an account, you need one.
Right.
Amen. And so to attract business at the bank, you need something. To transact. So that's all a part of life. So is it, in the spirit world. Okay. So you need an ID for certain things to get around. There's certain people that are going to ask you for that ID. In the spirit realm, the same thing is true. You need an identification. Walk with me. It's the same thing. Remember, you're here in the flesh, but in the spirit realm, spirits see your spirit. Angelic forces, the enemy forces, God, the Holy Spirit. There's a whole world going on around us right now in the unseen world that we can't see, but you need to have an ID there as well. And you can't just say, well, here I am. You have to have an ID. And God's going to ask you, do you have an identification on you? Do you have an ID on you? And you're going to say, I sure do. I have some identification right here. It's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And then we could go through other scriptures about in Christ. We'll pick some up later. So the identification that we actually have is that I'm with him. I'm with him. I have an ID on me. So spiritually speaking, all of us have to carry some identification to do business in the spirit realm. You do? Okay. The word of God must be engrafted in us, into our inner man, so that we can know who we are in Christ. The Bible is your official identification, and the Holy Spirit is part of your, the anointing on your life of the Holy Spirit is part of who God says you are and what you have. Now, even the devil knows who you are if you're born again. You have a light in you that not everybody else has. But if you're born again, there's a light. Amen. Is this too boring for y'all? Some of y'all look like you're falling asleep. This is very important. Very important. I'll get the water gun in a minute. Now, shake it off. This is where Bill Winston would say, shake off the biscuits and the gravy.
Yep.
Now, Acts 19:3 is the story of the seven sons of Sceva. You remember the story?
Yeah.
They tried to cast out the devil. How did they try to cast out the devil, the guy? In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached. And those devils looked at them and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Because they didn't have an identification. Because you got to have your ID. But they didn't have an ID. So the devils didn't have to leave because they didn't see that there was any authority. When the police show up at someone's house, they better bring their badge with them. Right?
Amen.
That's good right there. So, you and I can know who we are, and we can know the authority that's ours, and it's in Christ. And it's more than just trying to say some kind of religious words all the time. You can't just pick up some words from someone. Well, pastor says in the name of Jesus, da, 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 da. Yeah, but you got to know on the inside of you. You got to find out on the inside of you who you are. You got to know that you're doing it in him, not just in yourself. You're not God's man and woman of the hour with all the might and the power. It's God's power. It's God's love. And you're standing in his authority. He delegated his authority to you according to Ephesians. I think we'll read that scripture in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. So now the words identity, identification, and identified are all related to each other. And the Webster said something interesting. I thought this was an interesting thing. Considering or treating as the same. That's interesting. The condition of being the same in all qualities under consideration. So when I show my ID, it looks like me.
Right.
Well, when you show your ID in here, it looks like Jesus. It doesn't look like you. It looks like Jesus. When you start walking in your authority and in your power, they see Jesus.
Yeah. There you go. It is. Amen to that. Truth.
You know, often people never figure out who they are. They act like someone else. So maybe they like the strongest personality they know. They're going to be like them or you know, a television personality that impressed them, and they're going to try to talk and walk and wear their hair like somebody, the celebrity or something. Then some people pick the sports figure, some people the singer, a cowboy, a gangster, whatever it is, people pick who they like. Some people just will identify like that and live their life, you know, just being a show. Then other people, they identify with their problem. And so you're going to hear them say, I'm divorced, or I'm an alcoholic, or I'm bankrupt, or I'm a diabetic. And they're gonna say that's gonna be their identity, but that's not their identity.
Right.
Maybe alcohol did get the better of you, but that's not your identity. Oh, Pastor, you're preaching against AA. No, I'm not trying to do that, but you need to watch out who you identify with. I think they do a great job, but I think Jesus does better. He'll deliver you. You'll be free, and you don't need to be walking around saying, I'm this, I'm that, I'm hurt, I'm broke, I'm grieving, I'm all those things. It'd just be better to confess the truth over yourself, and you take the steps God needs you to take, but I would say do it in the right way and not identify with those things. If you identify with those things, you're in trouble. Identify with Christ, being in Christ. Now, because church, it's a stronger identification than one ever happened to you naturally. You can be hooked on a lot of things. Some people have an addiction to other people's approval. If they'll just approve of me, if they'll just approve of me, if they just approve of me, I'm just looking for that approval. If I can just get some approval from them, I'll feel better. But that's, you have Jesus' approval. Amen. And then, you know, there are some people who, their identity's wrapped up in their profession. And, they could be a mechanic, secretary, whatever it is you do. You could, have that as your identity. And then there's that problem when you lose that job, because then you don't know who you are. Come on. I think right there's an issue. If you're really, really, really good at something, you really want to watch out that it's good in Christ. Okay. Here we go again. Thank you, Lord. This might sound a little odd coming from the faith preacher, but I have to go here. The brook can dry up.
Yeah.
When it's time to move on to something else. That's not going against faith.
Yeah.
It just kind of sounds like it when you think about it. I remember, Deb and I had a business for 13 years and it made money for 13 years. And at the end of 13 years, when we had entered the ministry and we were working at a church, and I'm telling you, and we found favor with all the clients. It did great. And then at the end of that 13 years, the brook dried up. And our pastor, which happened to be Pastor Lee Boss at the time, he said, girls, the brook's dried up. It's time for you to do something new. And what did God do? So he sent ravens. With Elijah, the brook dried up, and so he found a way. God will always find a way to take care of you as you're moving to the next place. So you have to know when the brook dries up.
Amen.
That was free. Praise the Lord. It's time to move on. So therefore, you don't just want to get full of yourself about what you do well. Yes, Lord. We take that. Now, there are people also who identify with their race, and they can't get past ancestry or color or things like that. But in Christ, we are a whole new race when we look at that scripture I just read. There's no Jew nor Greek, male nor, I mean, they're talking about us, that we are in Christ, the body of Christ. We're all one flavor.
Yeah.
We're all one flavor. It doesn't matter. Well, are you Mexican or white? Are you half and half? You're a Christian.
Yeah.
If you got brown or black skin, you're prettier than us.
Yeah.
But we're all right with it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not to be tied up in those things. There's some validity to your natural identification. I've done that. I know all the way back to 1100 in my ancestors, all the way back. I'm 43% Scottish, and I know where I come from, and you can see I'm a white girl. Okay. Man. But my identification, my major ID is that I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ.
Yeah.
I have the DNA of God.
Yes. Yes.
I don't have the DNA of my parents. They both died in their 60s. I'm not taking that.
No.
They got kicked out of their bodies from heart trouble and cancer. I'm not taking that.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
I have the DNA of God. In Christ, we're a whole new race. In Him, you're a brand new creation. There's a validity to your natural identification, but there's even a greater one to your spiritual identification. When you see what God has done for you in Christ, the reality of redemption will swallow up your old identity. And you need to let it. So this is what we need to do. We need to start drilling. This is what I propose to you. Start drilling. Maybe some of you here, I don't know who all, but maybe some of you have heard of the book of Normal Accidents. Anybody? Normal Accidents? Okay, so Texaco was drilling for oil in a lake, Lake Pignure, something like that. Anybody know? Anybody from Louisiana? Okay, it's the best I can pronounce it. And it's in southern Louisiana. And so they drilled down to about 1,250 feet. And when they got down there, the drill got stuck. And so 1 hour later, they see that the rig is listing badly. So they're like, you know, we better get back. And so they leave it out on the lake and they get back and they're watching it from a distance. And to their surprise, watching from shore, it sank. And it just went under, completely under. And so meanwhile, there are men working in a salt mine under the lake. And it extended about 1,300 feet. It was about 80 foot tall and a four-lane highway. And they're down there working kind of like this thing, you know, we have this over on the corner of Marble Falls. I don't know if you know that or not. There's an underground thing. But so there's 51 men under there, and they all got out safe. But they're beginning to see that, you know, the caverns are flooding. And so, meanwhile, on the surface, there's this whirlpool just going and going, and it almost sucks some fishermen in. They get away, but then it actually sucks in a barge and a tug, and they go down. And so everybody else gets to shore, and they're watching this thing take place, and the whirlpool grew until 65 acres of the Rip Van Winkle Live Oaks Garden, it's a tourist attraction, goes under. Wow. It just gets sucked. The whole thing just gets sucked into the ground, into this hole. And so 7 hours later, the entire lake, once about 1 mile by 2 miles, is totally drained into the salt mine. The whole thing, just by this whirlpool, just gets sucked down, and it's all totally gone. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
Ladies and gentlemen, an oil rig, a salt mine, an entire 65 acres of land disappeared. When you drill into the phrase, in Christ, that is found in the New Testament, it'll swallow up your past, it'll swallow up your failures, it'll swallow up your old identity. It'll swallow it up. What God did in Christ is big enough to take care of all the stuff that happened to you, all the stuff that you did, all the back then when you were a stinker, all of what people, stinkers, did to you, all of who you were, mom and them and whatever, and it didn't work out right and whatever it is, everything that was amiss and who you thought you were is totally sucked up when you drill into in Christ. Start drilling. Start drilling. You're going to find out more about who you are than you ever have before. Just start drilling. Just start looking at them. Just start meditating on those words. Just go on this, look, find them in the scripture and look at them. The unseen will swallow up the seen. Church, the grace of God is bigger. In every case, what happened to you, whatever happened to you in Christ is bigger than anything that ever, ever, ever happened to you. It's bigger.
Yes. Amen.
Get over yourself.
Yeah.
You're in Christ.
Yes.
You're looking good.
Yeah.
Cause you're in Him.
That's right.
You don't have to, you have to judge by, man, I just don't really look the part. I don't seem to act the part. I don't feel like I do this. Hey, you're in Christ.
That's right.
Jesus, we know.
Yep.
Paul, we know. And Roxanne, we know.
Yep.
Because she's in Christ. Yep. Victory Church, we know.
Yep. Yep.
That's true.
It's true.
The grace of God is bigger. Mm-hmm. Just get that drill out and start drilling. Drill into Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in Christ, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Drill into Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You're not a slave to sin. You're a new creation. You're not a slave to it. You were, but you're not anymore. Mm-hmm. Drill into Ephesians 2:4. I like this one. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, and even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are we saved.
Amen.
Drill into that. It's in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Drill until you hit something in the realm of the spirit that's bigger than anything. You're drilling in there, and all of a sudden you're going to get a scripture that's going to go, hey,
yep.
Hey, I'm all right.
Yes, good.
It may take you to do a little drilling. Maybe you need to get it in you and get it in you, and then you're going to be able to stand up and be able to use your faith like we've been talking about in the past weeks so that you can actually stand up and make a command. You can stand up and be bold, and you can have a systematic discourse that'll run the devil totally off.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you see that this undergirds faith? Knowing who you are in Him, knowing who you are in the spirit realm, will undergrade faith. So, you know, if it doesn't seem like it's working real good, start drilling.
Yeah.
This is where, when you speak in the name, you'll see things move. I'm giving you a tool, church. You can't, well, we believe we receive it. All of that is great, but that's the top of the line. You need to know covenant. You need to know Almighty God. You need to know that you don't have faith in faith. You have faith in God. And the way you're going to have faith in God is when you drill down and see who you are in Christ, in Him, in whom. When you begin to look at all these things, you're going to start building some muscle.
Yes.
And you're going to be able to stand up and go, I can do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Devil, get out.
Amen.
And he will.
Yeah.
He's not going to be over there filing his long fingernails or whatever he's got, claws, saying, Paul, I know. Who do you think you are? I've got you. No, if you shut up that wounded rabbit.
Boom.
And start saying, this is who I am in Him.
Yeah.
It's who I am.
Yes.
Listen, church, let me tell you something. You got to get this. Your identity is different than your behavior.
Yeah.
See, you may have done what they said you did, but you're not who they say you are. You may have done that. I went to my cousin's funeral in my hometown, and a lot of the old timers were there, and one of the boys came up to me and said, you're a preacher? But remember when, and I'm like, that isn't me. That person's gone.
That is right.
And immediately the respect turns around right there. It's not who we were. I mean, wild child right here. But wild child has been long gone. Even today, in the mistakes I make, it's not about my behavior. I can still command by faith in the name of Jesus using authority because I'm in Him. I don't get up wanting to make mistakes. How many of y'all get up and say, I'm going to make 4 mistakes today? The revelation of our identity in Christ Jesus is stronger than any other identification that we should embrace in our lives.
Yes.
So don't come tell me I'm a such and such. Whatever we talked about. You are a child of the living God.
Yes.
And God identifies us with Christ. Listen to this. In His incarnation, His death, burial, resurrection, and His seating in heaven. Therefore, the strongest revelation in the Bible is who we are in Christ Jesus. It's the strongest revelation. It's the strongest revelation, who we are.
Yeah.
He did all that for us.
He did.
Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot going on with identity these days. There's so many voices trying to tell people who they are. Or who they aren't, or you can be what you want to be. But I'm going to tell you something, church. God is our creator.
Yes, he
reserves the right to tell us who we are.
Yes.
And throughout the Bible, we see God changing people's identities all the time. He's the identity changer. He's the one that does it.
Yep.
Amen. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And he was this little scaredy cat. Hiding, wasn't he? He was defeated and hiding from the enemy. We've all been there. And there's no physical evidence that Gideon was a mighty man of valor. But he rose up and became that person.
Yep.
What about Abram to Abraham?
Yep.
God put a piece of his name in Abraham's name. He called him the father of many nations when he had no children. But that's what he called him. Sarai was changed to Sarah. She became a princess. Jacob was changed to Israel. He was a deceiver who became a prince of God. See, they had to have an identity change. Listen to me. They had to have an identity change to carry the spiritual inheritance that God wanted them to carry. You have to have an identity change if you're going to carry what God intends for you to carry. You're like, well, you know, Pastor, I'm in. Well, I'm telling you to drill. Because you're going to be able to carry more of that inheritance if you'll drill and get proper revelation of what's going on in these scriptures.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is changing people's identity. He did that all through the New Testament. How about Simon, who was now then named Peter? You know, he said, you're Peter, you're a piece of the rock. So what happened? Peter told Jesus who he was. And Jesus turned around and told Peter who he was. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. He said, well, you're a piece of the rock and I'm going to build my church on it. That's what he told him. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And that's who you are. You're a piece of the rock revelation that Jesus is the Messiah. That's absolutely who you are. And the gates of hell, the authority of hell, will not prevail against you.
That's right.
Because you're in Christ. Peter changed, Jesus changed Peter's name, and it changed his character, his destiny, his possibilities. Everything changed. And everything changes for you when you identify with Jesus. What about Saul of Tarsus? The moment he saw Jesus, he changed. As soon as Jesus started talking, he became the Apostle Paul. So, and hey, he didn't do too bad. He wrote half the New Testament, more than half of the New Testament. Listen, church, God's a people person. He actually holds the copyright of humanity. He's the original manuscript, the original manufacturer, and he can remanufacture, remake, reveal to in you anyone he says you are. And he's done that. Think about what he's done for you. And he'll find the people to put you with to get you to that.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up knowing that I had a calling on my life. I didn't grow up knowing I had a calling on my life. The church we went to said that women don't do that. Mm-hmm. All the women controlled the church, but no. they ran it. I mean, not controlled it. They ran it. They did all the stuff, but I didn't know that until I met Pentecostal people, and then I met, of course, Word of Faith people, and they read the Bible and found out that women can be called. And the Apostle Paul talks a lot about that, in spite of what you think you might be reading there. But I didn't know that until I started drilling.
Yeah.
When I started drilling, I found out who I was. And then I found particular people, I met particular people, and they said, you're this. The first time I walked into one of the churches, the preacher said, you're a teacher and a prophet. And I was like, I was looking around. Who's around me? Who was it? But if you keep drilling, you're going to find out who you are all the way. Who you are in him. And where you should be and what you should be doing. Amen. He can write your story for you. Don't let anyone else tell you who you are. Except for Jesus. Except for God. He knows who you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
And my advice to you is don't believe every parking lot prophet. Meet you outside and say, I got a word for you. Let me give you a word, and they tell you something. I've watched that over the years, even here in this town, where someone comes along and really messes up people's lives. If you get a word, it needs to resonate with you. Don't take it. I don't care who gives it to you, me or anyone else. It has to resonate with you. Thank you, Margaret. I'm so glad you're here. I love you so much. Let me say this as we close here. I want to answer this one question and we'll close. How could Jesus Christ, one man, die on the cross and his death be for every man? How could that be that one man died on the cross? In the future, I'm going to show you some laws of identification, but just today, I want to tell you that the way that Jesus Christ, one man, died on the cross and his death was for every man is simply by the law of identification. It's by the law of identification. We all identified with Adam. And we were all affected by Adam and his decision. Can I let you in on a little secret? When you were born, you didn't become a sinner all on your own. It was your nature. You were born with the sin nature. And don't try to give Adam a piece of your mind when you get there. I used to think about that when I was younger. I'm going to have a talk with him. So he messed up. But that's the way you were born. So when you're born again, you got a new nature.
True.
Okay, let me get back to my notes here so we can close. So God simply took the same law that allowed one man, Adam, to mess everybody up, and he allowed one man, Jesus Christ, to die for everyone. He took that same law and enforced it. I feel like that's important for people to understand. Before Christ, you were identified with Adam. After Christ, you're good. Before Christ, you were damaged goods. Everybody. But when you received Jesus as your personal Savior, he was the one man, the last man, Adam, not the second, the last. And now you have his nature. Well, Pastor, I sure don't feel like it. I still feel like I'm... Well, keep drilling. Keep drilling. And don't put your sights on, I need to do better, I need to do better, I need... Put your sights on him.
Yes.
Line those sights up on the right thing.
Right. Yes.
If you line them up on the right thing, I'm looking at him. Just look at him. Just keep looking at him. How do they tell you to, yeah, mamas and stuff will tell kids if they got to come across something dangerous. Look at me. Look at me. Now this is what you do, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Just look at me. Look at me. You actually have his nature now. Mm-hmm. You have it. And you'll begin to act like that. It's the enemy that comes in and calls you a scoundrel. No good. Remember what you did. Remember the lake that got sucked up.
Yeah.
Now you've got that in your arsenal. Nope. All that stuff was flushed.
Glory to God.
One, Jesus Christ took care of everything. Now in Christ, you have a whole new identity. His victory is your victory. His life is your life. And his blessing is yours. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. God is good.